listening to Third Chakra from Stephen Halperin, Chakra Suite, about healing and inner peace. It's a re-release of a 30-year-old album, said to be the most influential healing album of all time. I'm Sherry Edwards, your host for Sound Health tonight on VBS Radio, and with me is Ralph Fusitola. Thank you, Ralph, for being with us.
Yes, thank you, Sherry, for having me.
And I hope there's a lot of audience with us, because we're going to go beyond sound health tonight. We're going to go to the health of the nation. We want you to call and talk to us. We're going to talk about what can be done to take over the elections and see that the right people get elected instead of the farces that we've had in the last couple of presidential elections. The call-in numbers are 877-876-5227 in the U.S., 888-815-9756 in Canada, and the direct line, 530-876-3222 is the direct line. We will be monitoring radio at vocalprofiling.com and soundhealth at soundhealth.org. I think for this particular show, though, having you live with us expressing your opinions would be great. What I want to say about the subject tonight is Ron Paul as the subject, and we need to help bring about a healing of our nation. In my opinion, for the last 30 years, not since Jimmy Carter was president, have we had a candidate that truly had the well-being of the people as a top priority. And with shows like BBS Radio and our ability to communicate on the internet, we can make a difference. Even in my own community, Bush carried our precinct and our county, and of all the people I interviewed, I could only find one person who voted for Bush, even directly after the election. Now, you tell me how that happened. There was something going on there, and there was a problem. So, as most of you know, I do vocal printing, and I take people's vocal prints and look at it in terms of their personality, their states of health by way of frequency, and most of those are posted on BBS Radio under Vocal Impressions. That's on the first page, the opening page of bbsradio.com, and it says the second column on the left. You go down three or four, and it says Vocal Impressions. So we have talked on this show and the Monday night show, Vocal Impressions, or Vocal Profiling Live, and we have done candidates. We've done Hillary. We've done Rudy Giuliani. We've done Obama. Probably several other I can't remember at the moment. But the one that impressed me the most was Ron Paul. And the one that impressed me the second, third, no, about fourth down, because I think Ron Paul is the first, second, and third. Obama is about fourth. But one of the things that impressed me is, you know, I don't care that people know I voted for Jimmy Carter, because I felt he was of the people, and I think that's why he got sort of kicked out of office, because he was of the people. He said he was going to uncover all the thing about UFOs and government corruption and blah, 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 and that didn't happen because nobody would cooperate with him. And I think that is the same thing that's happening with Ron Paul. The health of the nation depends on what we, the people, want, and I think we can help. So for those of you who don't know who Ron Paul is, I'm going to read this from his site. And this is from Ron Paul, R-O-N-P-A-U-L, 2008.com. Congressman Ron Paul, Republican, Texas, is the leading advocate of freedom in our nation's capital. As a member of the U.S. House of Representatives, Dr. Paul tirelessly works for limited constitutional government, low taxes, free markets, and a return to solid monetary policies. He is known among his congressional colleagues and his constituents for his consistent voting record. Dr. Paul never votes for legislation unless the proposed measure is expressly authorized by the Constitution. And I think in recent years our Constitution has been totally corrupted, corroded, undermined. And I've asked Ralph Fusatola to come on because he is an expert in freedoms and the libertarian movement, and he's behind Ron Paul. He is the one that convinced me to run Ron Paul's vocal prints and then to look up what was happening on the internet. Ralph, can you enlighten us a bit about what is happening with Ron Paul's campaign and why he's been excluded from the national polls? I know why. I just want our people to hear it. I'm appalled by what's happening. So let's set this up in maybe the first half hour of the show and then entertain questions from the audience.
Certainly. Absolutely. Well, I think what's happening here is that Ron Paul is articulating a very traditional Republican approach to governance. The idea is that that government is best which governs least. And he's always stood for those principles in a way in which his party has failed to stand over the past several decades. You know, he was in Congress in the late 70s and early 80s, and during that time he was his limited government ideals were not popular in Washington, although he did manage to have a major impact on one area, monetary policy, where he was the individual primarily responsible for Americans regaining the right to own gold bullion after decades of a bizarre law that prevented Americans from owning gold bullion. And for that one reason alone, you know, for returning that freedom to us, he probably ought to be president. But after that, he left Congress voluntarily. He felt that the federal government was in a stage in which it was not amenable to his impact, and he went back to his medical practice. He's an obstetrician. He's been involved in the birth of over 4,000 babies, and he's you know, a person who's not accepted government funds for his medical practice. So he's had an independent practice, and he came back to Congress in the 90s, and has been there ever since. His reputation is certainly Dr. No, because he refuses to simply vote for bills because that's what the majority wants. He only votes for laws that the Constitution allows, and he calls himself a constitutionalist. So that he's trying not to use those overworn words, conservative and liberal, and he feels that the difference is between people who support the U.S. Constitution and people who just have, you know, no sense of limitation on their political ambitions. So he has a very good reputation. He has the reputation of being an honest individual. He's not a member of any of those nefarious organizations that seem to obtain the concentration of politicians like the Council on Foreign Relations. He doesn't belong to those groups, so he's been an independent, unlike every one of the other Republican candidates. Right now, some people are touting Fred Thompson as the conservative candidate for president. And, of course, Thompson is a member of Council on Foreign Relations and is just no different than the neocons that are in power or the liberals in the Democratic Party that would like to be in power. You know, Ron Paul is literally the only true anti-war candidate. Certainly a couple of the Democrats try to sound like they're anti-war, but when they're pressed on the issue, they really have no particular plan to actually end the war. And so he stands as the only individual there who is quite ready to tackle the hard issue and end the war in Iraq. So I think that's another important factor. Currently, his campaign is an amazing online, internet, new media campaign, and he's addressed that issue. There's an 8-minute video that's available on YouTube that you can listen to him talking about the new media being shows like this radio show and internet activities, He's called explicitly for no taxes on the internet, and for no limitations to free speech on the internet. So it's a very strong position on the new media, and he feels the new media is going to provide him the ability to reach people in ways that the so-called major candidates can only do if they spend hundreds of millions of dollars. He doesn't have that level of funding. He has substantial funding that's gotten even more substantial since the Republican debates, the early debates. And this Iowa debate is a very strange phenomenon. The so-called front runners, did not show to that debate in Iowa. And Ron Paul held a rally in the room next door and got hundreds of more people than were present at the so-called debate. The debate is run by a false flag taxpayer group, a group that pretends to be a taxpayers group but actually always supports special interests and special tax breaks for special interests. And that particular organization apparently decided that they didn't want Ron Paul, who is probably America's foremost advocate of the taxpayer in Congress, as a speaker, thereby exposing themselves as exactly what they are. So why wasn't he invited? Well, it was because it was an unimportant event. It was an event that was basically insignificant, in which the main frontrunners did not appear, nor did he. Instead, he appeared next door and got a much larger crowd.
Well,
I think that that event shows once again the power of the internet organizing, because the thousand people who showed up for Ron Paul's rally in Iowa, that's a very good number of people for a political rally. They showed up because they were mobilized over the internet.
Thomas,
we watched
that
mobilization occur. So I expect this to be an internet-oriented campaign in which large numbers of people are going to show up for events and surprise the media when they do.
Thomas E. Woods, Jr. has written an article about this, and it's on lewrockwell.com, LewRockwell.com. And the name of the article is Excluding Ron Paul. We're going to post this on the information about this show as soon as the show is over. And I did an evaluation right before we went on the air of the speech that you're talking about the new media.
Right.
I sent it over to you, and we will post it. But one of the things, you brought up many things, all through his speeches, his vocal prance is consistent, absolutely consistent in what he stands for. It's justice and fairness. But I want to talk about several ideas we're going to talk about this evening, and then I've got some questions from what you've just said. We're going to talk about debt and taxes, American independence and sovereignty, war and foreign policy, life and liberty, border security and immigration reform, privacy and personal liberty, and property rights and eminent domain. I took those right off his site. He's just so straightforward and to the point. You said when he doesn't vote for what the majority wants, I think what you really meant there, he doesn't vote for what the majority of the elected officials want.
That's absolutely true.
Yeah, he votes for the people. And we want to encourage people to give donations through this internet site that he has, Ron Paul 2008, because I think if it's really the people that's going to vote for the person that's going to do them the most good, not big business, not big government, not special interest groups, if anybody really pays attention and people's vote really count in this election, Ron Paul's going to win. When we looked at why the media, the popular media, is cutting him off.
Right.
Ralph, why do you think that's happening?
Well, you know, the phrase popular media, I would call it the old media. And why? Well, just look at the ownership structure of those companies. And you end up figuring out what's going on.
I think that they
are frightened by anyone who would actually raise the defense of the republic as a political issue in an era when the American political class has apparently decided that it likes empire, and the rest of us can very well accept that and stay out of the way. And that certainly is the attitude of America's political class, whether they call themselves Democrats or Republicans, or whether they call themselves liberals or Democrats. They all have the same policy of bullying countries around the world and thinking that that they have an unlimited amount of our wealth and our young people's blood to expend. And Ron Paul is telling them no. He's being the good doctor and seeking to diagnose the problem of the body politic. And he's been just very brave with that. And he has raised the issue of the $43 or $47 trillion, whatever it is, in unfunded federal obligations, and asked how on earth they expect to be able to deal with that. $43 trillion, $47 trillion, give or take $1 trillion, doesn't matter, But he's raised that issue clearly. He has raised the forbidden issue of blowback in American foreign policy. The rest of the world is supposed to love us because of who we are and ignore our policies and their effects on those countries. And they don't do that. And that's something that the American political class hasn't quite figured out yet, that there is blowback, that you can't simply bully the rest of the world and not expect to get a response from other countries and other people. And certainly he understands why the founding fathers of this country cautioned against this sort of interventionist foreign policy. He understands why a non-interventionist foreign policy, of one based on America as an example of freedom instead of as a bully allegedly imposing freedom, is the real policy that would work. And he understands that the more bloodshed and chaos we cause abroad, the more terrorists that we're creating that can attack us at home. And of course, we all know the statistics. If you can look them up on the internet, you are approximately as likely to get shot by a policeman in the past decade as you were to get shot by a terrorist in the United States. I guess the terrorists and the law enforcement in this country are equally dangerous to the public. The claim by the people in Washington that somehow they're protecting us is a very hollow claim. And Ron Paul knows that. He knows that you don't start protecting the country by ignoring the borders. And so he's taking a very strong position on defending this country's borders. If there's no border security, how could there be any security at all? And he understands that. And so he's taken a very hard-nosed approach, one that the neocons have this bizarre notion that they, whoever they are, hate us because of our freedoms, and therefore we have to surrender our freedoms. And Ron Paul knows it's the exact opposite. He remembers what Benjamin Franklin said, that those who would surrender their freedom for a bit of security will end up with neither freedom or security. And he's a great student of the founders of the Republic, and is an individual who seriously wants to return to that limited republic in which the central government had few responsibilities and limited power. And that's something that I think we could all do. We can all read the Constitution and realize how far beyond constitutional government the current government is. And there's no one in Congress who is willing to compare the results to the blueprint and say that there's a problem here and it needs to be rebuilt, except for Paul.
When you look back at the Reagan era, and at that point, people loved Ronald Reagan the person, but they sort of ignored his policies. And his policies were, I'm the parent. The government is the parent. We will take care of you. And that's kind of followed all through. We know best. You're stupid. The people are stupid. We have to carry them. We have to feed them. And
we'll take good care of you. Just don't think and do what you're told.
Yeah. And it
that
put...
certainly is... And that scene reflected really strongly in the medical system in this society,
yes.
in which people are really expected to not have, to not know anything, to not have any control of what's done to their bodies, and to certainly not ask any questions. And anyone who seeks alternatives to that model becomes an enemy of the state. And we see the system producing obscene multi-billion-dollar profits to pharmaceutical companies for duly approved drugs that kill thousands of people as a side effect. And no one seems to think it's a major deal.
And to dumb
we see
down,
a vaccine system, which is so obscene that it produces billions of dollars in profits to the vaccine industry while leaving tens of thousands of children seriously injured every year, to the point where they're paying out $200 million a year in compensation to families who are destroyed by the vaccination industry. An uninsurable risk. Congress gave the vaccine industry the same special insurance status that the nuclear industry has, because both industries are uninsurable risks, and you can't go in the marketplace and raise funds for companies that are engaging in uninsurable risk. So Congress changed the law for those two special areas, nuclear power and vaccination, and made it so that that they were not subject to the same laws that the rest of us are. And it's those special privileges that Ron Paul has been really clear about. He votes against subsidies and special privileges for all of those interests. And every time a vote comes, he's there, sometimes the only person voting against an extension of government power.
There's so many things I want to talk about dumbing us down. Larry Trivieri is going to be on next week and talk about the food sources and how that's dumbing us down. But the fact that they just think that we're so stupid that we're going to look at things like high gas prices and not think that we're being taken advantage of because they're trying to ram down our throats, that's needed for new sources of fuel. When you look at their profits, and it's record profits, and then you see this guy on TV that can make fuel out of salt water, and he's being repressed.
Right.
And it's absolutely real when you look at all these people who have tested this guy to see what's going on with him. My email's acting up here. Maybe lots of people are trying to get through.
Good.
But
that's what you have to say.
When you look at the things like the vaccinations and Homeland Security, and they're being forced on, although I'm looking all through Ron Paul's things, I haven't seen him come up with anything about protecting people against these corporations who are just absolutely raping the people for profits in their own pocket.
Well, you know, basically what his position is pretty clear, that it's their government privileges that allow them to get away with that. And the way to get rid of that power is to get rid of those privileges. And so he's, you know, pretty strong on that sort of issue. There's a great list of things that he doesn't do. See, this is Dr. No, so you know, it's going to be easier to say what he doesn't do than what he does do. But, you know, what we need in this society now is someone who doesn't go along with the status quo. And so here's what he doesn't do. There's a list of them I'm going to read off. He has never voted to raise taxes. He has never voted for an unbalanced budget. He has never voted for a federal restriction on gun ownership. He has never voted to raise congressional pay. He has never taken a government-paid junket. He has never voted to increase the power of the executive branch. He voted against the Patriot Act. He voted against regulating the Internet. He voted against the Iraqi war. He does not participate in the lucrative congressional pension program. And he returns a portion of his annual congressional office budget to the U.S. Treasury every year. He doesn't spend his entire budget. And that's the thing we need running the federal government, that's for sure.
It sounds like something I want to totally vote for. What do you think is going to happen with the national media that you said is owned by the old guard? You think it's going to fall?
They're going to continue their attempt to ignore. Hopefully there will be a strong enough groundswell of public opinion that will be irrelevant, and that's what we're hoping to see. This is the first of the real internet campaigns, and I don't know how far it will go. It may be that the first great internet campaign will not succeed, but it may be setting the standard for the future. And then certainly, to a certain extent, that's what he's doing. He's really changing the nature of politics in this country by taking it out of the old media and out of the old expectations. Now, the question becomes, will that motivate people to get out and actually vote for him in the primaries? And we know most people don't vote in the primaries. Very few people vote in the primaries. And most people don't vote, period. If an elected official had to get an absolute majority of the voting-aged citizens to vote for him, there would be nobody in any office. It never happens. Everybody in office has a plurality of the minority of people who bother to vote. Most people who have the right to vote choose not to, basically because they don't believe that voting makes any difference, that it has any power to impact their lives. And that tells us a lot about the failure of the system. Can he get motivated? I don't know. We'll find out if Ron Paul's internet campaign can motivate people to cross over from complaining on the internet to actually doing things in the world. Getting 1,000 people out in Iowa, you know, on a couple of days' notice is pretty good. I think it may indicate that there is going to be a real world result of the online fervor.
I just heard a beep. Do we have a caller?
Yes, hello?
Hello.
Hi, do you hear me?
What's your name, caller?
Kathy.
Kathy.
I just want to say that I think there is tremendous support for Ron Paul. I think the media doesn't want us to know that. I think they want us to believe that their chosen are in the lead when in fact they aren't. And I think that they're setting us up, they're playing games. If you look at both political parties, you know, I refer to them as the Democans and the Republicrats, because at the top, they're owned by the same people. They're owned by the same bankster, pharmaceutical company, energy companies, oil companies. They're owned by all the same people. And I think what they do is they make it look like we're given a choice every 4 years. They set up two of their own. I mean, look at, we had Kerry and Bush, both skull and bonesers, allegedly distant cousins. And it's nonsense. We're not given a choice. We're given two of theirs so that no matter which wins, they will get what the people at the top will get what they want. I think Ron Paul is horrifying to them because he's for real. He's an honest man. He has integrity. They're not used to working with that. And the big problem we face is that they've got manipulated machines now. They can manipulate a vote from a distance via telephone on these Diebold machines. So as I understand it from my research, their candidates are Hillary in the Democrats, and Hillary, of course, is an old buddy, an old CIA friend of the Bushes. So she's definitely one of them. And in the Republicans, they want Giuliani, who, you know, will do anything. I mean, anybody who lives near New York and watched 911 knows that Giuliani will do anything to get ahead, or what he perceives to be ahead. And they want those to run against each other. The rumor is they feel they owe her, and that at the last minute they're going to start dishing out dirt on Giuliani, figuring that way she'll win. I think Romney is one of their backups, and now they're bringing out Bloomberg because they're realizing, oh, my God, third parties are beginning to look good to everybody, so they've got to have one, just like they did with Perot, who was nothing but a setup from the start. I think what they're going to do is absolutely refuse to give Ron Paul any publicity. They're going to try and pretend he doesn't exist and tell the world that he's only got a few votes, that he's just an anomaly, pay no attention to him. And I think as a result of their actions, the groundswell is going to grow even more. I do fear that Ron Paul's going to have to run as an independent because I think they're going to just try and push him out of the Republican Party, which is ironic because if he doesn't get their nod, the Republicans are going to lose. That's obvious. They don't have a single candidate up there who is not a New World Order Illuminatiist. And they're going to lose if they don't run with Ron Paul. But since they don't own him and haven't been able to control him, they'd rather have one of theirs from the other side win than have him win. And I think we're going to see a lot of crazy things. I do think it is very important for those of us who are not registered Republicans to get registered as Republicans to vote for him in the primary, even if they change our votes. And I'm hoping that Ron Paul will be set up to run as an independent as well as Republican, or, you know, instead of a Republican, so that when the Republicans dump him, which I suspect they're going to try to do, we can vote for him as an independent. I mean, I certainly, if Ron Paul isn't running as the Republican candidate, I will not vote for him or for a Democrat. I will be voting third party. And so this is something we've got to watch. I mean, it's wonderful. We're all talking about the wonderful things this man has done. And yes, he's like, you know, he is the real thing. He's a decent person running for political office in the United States. Wow, what an anomaly. But we're going to have to protect him. And if they get rid of him, we're going to have to be ready to vote third party and tell them all to go to hell.
Well, we've got some really tough people coming out of Texas. Well, Richards, but she was the governor there, and then I think she's passed on now. But she was a tough lady. You know, I have never registered in the primary in my 40-some years of voting, but I'm going to this year just because I can do that so I can vote for him. But I refused to vote in the primary because I refused to be dubbed a Democrat or a Republican. I was for the person.
Yeah, exactly.
And that is true of almost of most voters these days. Independents are the single largest bloc, and the question is, will they start to act as a bloc and vote for someone who is a proven independent?
Yeah, I think people are sick and tired of listening to the promises. You know, what I'm going to do if I'm president and all that crapola. I think they're beginning to look at people's records, and when you look at these guys' records, I mean, they're sick. All these people running are wackos. They're really sick people. And the only decent person running is Ron Paul. And it's such a thrill that he's running. Boy, we actually have a good candidate. We're really going to have to watch out for him. And we're going to really have to watch out for our rights.
I would like to read something. And this, again, Thomas E. Woods, Jr. wrote. He wrote some great articles on Ron Paul, and this is on lewrockwell.com again, LewRockwell. And this is an article called The Revolutionary Candidate. No one knows quite what to do with Congressman Ron Paul, Republican candidate for president. He refuses to play by the rules. He's a bigger supporter of the free market than anyone in Congress, but he's also the most consistent opponent of war. That's the conjunction of these positions, which amount to classical libertarianism in a nutshell. Should actually seem surprising or odd, goes to show how perverse our political system has become. Other than Dennis Kucinich, he's the only authentic anti-war candidate in either party. He has won so many awards from the National Taxpayers Union that he probably lost count. CNET rated him best out of all 435 congressmen in the House of Representatives on issues relating to the Internet. There is no more reliable civil libertarian in Congress than Ron Paul. His contact, moreover, is beyond reproach. Lobbyists don't even go into his office. If their scheme doesn't fall among the federal government's enumerated powers under the Constitution, they know perfectly well there's no chance Ron Paul will support it. He goes on to say, just like you did, in blatant words here, that Hillary and Giuliani might as well run on the same ticket because it's the same stuff.
Yeah.
And the people know it, but how can we take the next step? My step.
Well, one of the problems we have, Sherry, is that a lot of Americans seem to think that the purpose of the election is for them to choose the candidate that wins, not to choose the candidate they want to win, but to be on the right side, to be on the majority side. And they treat it as though it were some sort of a sports game instead of a choice they're making about their lives and the lives of their children. And so I think one of the things that has to happen is Americans have to start taking elections seriously instead of treating it as a sports match where they're somehow going to be on the winning team by voting for the winner.
Well, one thing we saw was an incredible organizing of grassroots over this amnesty issue, especially the way it was presented. It was going to cost the American taxpayer just tremendous amounts of money. And I think people said, oh, my God, we can't afford that. And at the same time, this movie Sicko has come out, which shows, you know, government, corrupt medicine, corrupt government. Unfortunately, Moore does not approach things the way I wish he did. I wish he had brought in alternatives and shown what they could do. He doesn't do that. He's basically a socialist himself.
We're talking about Michael Moore, the producer of Sicko?
Yes.
Okay.
And he doesn't give alternatives. He basically wants the government to run everything. He just wants them to run it differently. He wants them to behave and be good like there's any such animal. And on the other hand, he also does not really talk about the fact that the FDA is so controlled by the the pharmaceuticals that are, and the FDA are so in bed together. They're one and the same. And the FDA is not working for the American people. It's obviously working for its pals in the pharmaceutical companies.
Ralph, can you talk about Ron Paul's stand on health freedom?
Yes. In fact, he's of course, very strong stand. I have
he
to
believes
to back up a little bit on that issue to explain why. There were several very important things happening politically over the past couple of months in the health freedom area, and Ron Paul, you know, has intervened very strongly in all of them. In the first place, back at the end of December, the day after Christmas, the FDA issued what it calls a guidance document telling people how to do things. It was for what they call complementary and alternative medicine. And they did it on the day after Christmas when I thought that nobody in the federal government actually worked. And then they waited 2 months to announce to the public they had done it and only gave the public a short time to make comments. And so there's been a major to-do over this so-called CAM guidance. Ron Paul submitted comments to the FDA, which have been published on his website and elsewhere, very strong comments, which he called the FDA move an abuse of FDA power. So he's taking a very strong position. And the comments he wrote as a physician as to why this guidance is bad was very good, very well thought out. In addition to that, in the early part of April, Senator Kennedy introduced in the Senate a bill to enhance FDA power. And it went through committee without a hearing, and it went to a vote very quickly. We were able to force the Senate to add a clause to that bill saying that it doesn't apply to dietary supplements, but nonetheless it's still quite a threat, and it's now gone over to the House. And in the House, Ron Paul's response was to file his own bill, the Health Freedom Protection Act, H.R. 2117. That bill would basically tell the FDA that it has to allow dietary supplements to make health claims if there's any evidence to back up that claim. The FDA wants the rule to be, you know, that you cannot make a health claim unless you prove it to the FDA's satisfaction with the FDA agents who you're dealing with, realizing that when they retire from the FDA, they're going to end up with high-paying jobs in the drug industry, and therefore they're never satisfied. So you end up with a very strong confrontation between a candidate for president and the FDA. Candidate for president saying people need to be free to learn about the health benefits of nutrients and natural remedies, which is the alternative to this extraordinarily high-priced and dangerous drug culture that we live in, medical drug culture, that is. And he was very strong. His bill was very powerful in that area. So both the FDA's most recent assault on alternative healing and the U.S. Senate's most recent attempt to solve the problem of the failure of the FDA to protect us by giving it more power to fail to protect us with.
You know, one of the things that
he's come across and said that's not the problem. The problem isn't that way that the government doesn't have enough power. The problem is that the government is trying to prevent people from learning the truth. And that's the real key issue here. The FDA, for example, tells us that we should not be allowed to know if the foods we're eating are genetically modified. that people who make genetically modified foods should not be required to tell us that, and even more absurdly, that people who make genetically modified free food, food that's not genetically modified, they should be forbidden from telling us the benefits, you know, that their product is not genetically modified. And Ron Paul is very much in favor of truth in advertising, of truthful information being gotten out to people. And so is our Supreme Court, by the way. The Supreme Court has said in cases that it has long rejected the notion that the government has any legitimate interest in preventing people from making bad decisions with truthful information. If the information is truthful, we adults have a right to make our own decisions based on that information without a bureaucrat deciding whether it's good or bad for us. Ron Paul stands strongly in that tradition of health freedom.
We're right back to, we are the parent. We can tell you exactly what you need, and you will never grow up. You are always children, and you don't have, even when you're an adult, the right to say what goes into your own body. I am so tired of this dumbed-down strategy of the government, like we are so stupid, we can't run our own lives.
Oh, I don't think they think we're stupid at all. I think that they're terrified that we're smart, and so they talk about us being needed, that they say we need to be controlled, and we need to be helped, and we need to be led, and then, of course, deliberately lead us down the wrong path. But they say that, but I think that they're terrified that people are learning and know too much already, and they're not sure how they're going to handle that. We have another issue here with the FDA, with pharmaceuticals. You know, a lot of people we're all talking about the environment these days, but a lot of the same politicians who say, oh, we've got to save the environment, also vote for the FDA and their chemicals, and we have a terrible pollution of the waters by pharmaceutical chemicals. When people get done with their medicines, and God, people are on 4, 5, 8, 10 prescriptions at a time now, when they get done with them, they dump them down the toilet. And the water systems of this country, and particularly this country, but of the world, are getting poisoned with these toxic substances. We're finding animals that are mutating and that have high levels of various medicines in them. This is terrible. It's absolutely awful. You know, it's like they're trying to kill off a huge chunk of the population because I guess they feel that a nice small population would be easier to manipulate and control.
They're just killing everybody off.
It's incredible because the moment they get elected, most of them, I think Ron Paul is one of the few that is not in this group, but they get elected, and then I think what happens is they go down there and the powers that be get something on them or set them up in some way, so they own them. And they vote for these ridiculous bills that can't even be justified, but they do it. And it's only when people get up en masse like they did over the amnesty bill that they get scared and they back down. When they see the numbers, then they back down. But they have to see tremendous numbers to back down. If they only see very large numbers, they don't back down and they shaft us.
Well, we did Al Gore's print, too, when you're talking about the environment, and that's a bunch of hooey.
Yeah. Well, you know, Al Gore, of course, his family is one of those families that have a lot in common with the Bush family. And he's an insider. And much as he's, you know, sounding as though he really cares for things these days, his record doesn't show that. His record shows that he's another big government person. Maybe he's changed a bit. Maybe he's learned his lesson a bit. But I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't think I would ever trust him. They make sure we get two totally untrustworthy candidates running against each other. I mean, look at Hillary Clinton, her background, all those shady banking deals, all the crap she's done. I mean, the woman is sitting on the fence on Iraq. She votes for it. She votes to stay there. And then she gets up and makes speeches against it as though she voted against it. The woman has two faces, And it's a joke. It's an absolute joke to think that anybody is going to vote for that. I think there are very few people who would vote for her. But allegedly,
Kathy,
they owe her.
Kathy?
Yeah?
Her voice print says exactly that. She's going to vote for whatever looks good.
Yeah.
I would like to read you Ron Paul's vocal print. I'm just going to read you a couple paragraphs. And it's very consistent throughout all of his speeches. This is the one where he was talking about a solution to the present government problems. So justice is the number one issue of this chart. Second is planning.
Wow.
Third is self-approval with more than a dash of humanitarianism. Missing from this chart is the need for a physical gratification or the manipulation of others. I ran this chart twice because I could not believe the outcome. It was nearly the same. The second chart was longer and included solutions. True to his voice print, he is strong on action and words, and it is obvious that he's willing to carry out his plans to fruition. He doesn't know how he will manage, but he strongly feels he can do the job.
Wow.
And what Ralph was reading about his do's and don'ts, to me, he's a perfect candidate. And I just thought he was too perfect when Ralph started talking to me about this. And so I did my own. I did vocal prints, and that's what I trust.
And the vocal print tells the truth.
It does.
You know, they can play their little games, they can tell their little lies, but when their voice speaks, when those frequencies come out, you know what you're dealing with. And I'm not surprised his vocal print was that good, because he just has been so consistent. This man is the real thing. That's why I'm worried. I worry for his safety. I worry for our country's safety. But people have got to stand up. They've got to start talking about him. They've got to start making demands. Unfortunately, they've got a registered Republican, but of course it doesn't matter. You can be registered Republican and vote any way you want in the final election, but it's important to get registered Republican now to vote for him in the primary. I'm going to swallow my tongue and go down there and do it. And not that I would feel any better registering as a Democrat. I consider both parties evil. But I will go down there and do it just so that I can make sure I can vote for him come that primary.
Ralph, we have about 4 minutes left,
yes.
And we have not even touched on his issues. I want to reiterate something. If we are going to come together as a family, and VBS Radio is a family, and whoever you want to vote for, let's vote for the person who's for the people, who's going to do our bidding, what we want, and look at ourselves as adults. No, something you said before, let's encourage them to register.
If they want to know some details on Ron Paul on the issues, they can go to ronpaul2008.com/issues, and there's a page of what he considers the most important issues in the race, and he outlines exactly his positions on them. So it's all very much there, and his issues are civil liberties and security and property rights and privacy and all the issues that you would expect him to be concerned about. So that's Ron Paul, RONPAUL 2008.com.
There is another site called RonPaulAudio.com. And I just discovered it today. We will post this information for you on our site on VBS Radio. And it gives the most recent speeches by Ron Paul and what's going on. So, Ralph, let's talk about this. Encourage them to vote in the primary. Let's encourage them to vote all along. Talk to each other. Share this information. Pass the information on. And donations. Talk a bit about that.
The cost of the politics in this country has gone up very dramatically. The so-called frontline candidates are backed with very substantial amounts of money. People like Bloomberg certainly have huge amounts of money of their own to spend. Ron Paul has to rely on small donations on the internet, and those donations are beginning to pile up. And it's really important for people to add to it, even if it's only a few dollars.
Yeah,
go to RonPaul2008.com and donate.
He's going to have to buy the publicity that the others are going to be given for free. He's going to have to go out and buy it because the people who own the media are with the other candidates, and they're not going to give him the publicity he deserves. And so monies are definitely needed so that publicity can be bought. But the best thing is for people to talk, for people to get out there and talk about him and talk about the candidates and share their experiences and share their knowledge. Because if we go there as a block on election night, when it really, really gets big, it's going to be very hard for them to pull the wool over our eyes, just like with this amnesty thing. They couldn't do it. They really wanted to because it was part of their move toward the North American Union and making us one with Canada and Mexico, and they had to step back. So this is what we got to do.
Well, Ralph, let's make a commitment to come back and talk more about this, give people more
information. I think so. I think we'd like to have more dialogue with more people and ask people to keep an eye on the campaign, to pay attention to it and support it.
And for those of you who really want to know who's telling the truth, Sound Health has created something called Aura Cards, which teaches you to see an aura. And so we're going to do a class on who's telling the truth and who isn't. And we're going to give you a set of Aura Cards for free just for writing to us at soundhealth@soundhealth.org. That's our gift to get this started so we can see who's real and who isn't.
Oh, what fun when they can't run and hide.
Yeah, they can't hide. If we teach everybody to see their aura and who's lying, they can't hide.
Right.
So we thought that was a very good gift to spread around. And then they're free. If too many of you write to us, we may ask you to pay a couple of dollars for postage to help us get them to you. But we'll certainly do a class for you. We got to go. It's just incredible that we ran out of time so fast here.
So fast.
Yeah. We'll see
Thank
you next
you,
week.
Sherry.